everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Fresno EOC's Poverty Fighters Podcast. I'm your host, Antonio Aguilar Jr., and we are back with episode number 10. On today's episode, I have another amazing guest. She is a manager of Fresno EOC's LGBTQ Plus Resource Center and really has a lot to share about the amazing services that they put on there, as well as some of the trainings that she's been doing. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Allow me to introduce Jen Cruz. Jen, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Antonio?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm actually really excited. This is our 10th episode of our podcast, and thank you again for joining us. Super excited to have you here and to have you share a little bit about what you've been doing for EOC. So why don't we start there? Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Let us know your role at EOC and how long you've been with the agency.
Sure. So I'm Jennifer Cruz. I go by she, her pronouns, and I'm the manager at the LGBTQ Plus Resource Center. We're a project under Sanctuary and Support Services for Fresno EOC. I've been in this role for, it's coming up on 3 years.
Okay.
And prior to that, I was a case manager for a permanent supportive housing project under Sanctuary Support Services.
Okay. And so in total, how long have you been with the agency?
What's that, 5 years?
Okay. So this is your second role within the agency.
Yes.
Cool. And so you said under Sanctuary and Support, and for those that are not familiar with that program within EOC, tell us a little bit about what that encompasses. What does Sanctuary and Support do?
So Sanctuary and Support Services started with the Youth Sanctuary, which is a shelter for at-risk youth or runaway youth. That's mm-hmm. how it started out quite a while ago. I think it was 1992. And it grew from there. So there's also now a transitional emergency shelter on T Street, the T Street emergency drop-in and shelter for transitional age 18 to 24. There are multiple permanent supportive housing projects now under that program. And those are for chronically homeless and documented disabled folks in Fresno. Mm-hmm. Also, we have, as part of that, the Central Valley Against Human Trafficking Project is under Sanctuary and Support Services.
Right.
And yeah, so.
Well, a ton of different services.
A lot of stuff, yeah.
It's yeah, program. It definitely is. And you know, I want to focus a little bit more on what you're doing. So you work directly with the LGBTQ Plus Resource Center. That's correct, right?
That is correct.
So tell us a little bit about some of the specific services that are provided at the Resource Center.
So I like to talk a little bit about the needs of the community. You know, mm-hmm. when I started this project, it was my initial goals were to go to the other organizations that were maybe online uh-huh. and find out what they saw as far as needs to the community, right? And talk to the old community center person who ran that. I don't know if you know, but Fresno used to have an LGBT community center, but it closed down in 2017. That's kind of how eventually this was born under EOC.
Oh, our, I didn't know that.
Our people wanted to have something for that community, that marginalized community specifically, and we knew there wasn't anything in Fresno. So I met with them and kind of found out from them some of the things that they could see in the community that were needs, but also uh-huh. like it was pretty clear right away, as evident by phone calls and interacting with clients, that the top four needs are housing, mental health, mm-hmm. Affirming medical care providers, and then legal issues, right? So maybe discrimination in housing or at work or something like that. So uh-huh. in the center, we have done what we can to tackle basically three of the four of those. So we have in-house direct services, mental health providers wow. That we subcontract with, so people can shoot us a, you know, through our link for services, they can request that and we get them hooked up with our mental health providers here in the center. It's a safe space. They're familiar with it already. Uh-huh. For medical stuff, one of the first things that we did back in 2019 was started the transgender healthcare initiative. Uh-huh. There are not a lot of doctors in Fresno that are providing the services for that community. So that project specifically, we're training medical providers on LGBTQ competency. Mm-hmm. We did a thing in collaboration last year with UCSF, a conference virtually where they actually brought in doctors from bigger cities to mm-hmm. teach doctors here in Fresno about some of those services that that population needs, and then just LGBTQ affirming care in general. Wow. Legal services, we recently added two staff from Oasis Legal Services. Mm-hmm. They are specific to LGBTQ immigration issues.
Okay.
But the goal is to be able to help as many folks as we can. So those three areas, we're helping in those three areas. And then housing, of course, we refer to EOC housing programs when we can. Different projects, but also we can get, you know, clients connected with navigators if need be.
Well, you know, and I really love how you started with that you went to the community first. You know, I think that's a piece that far too often gets overlooked, right? But if especially when you're starting a new program, right, it's important to know what the community needs, right? It's not necessarily about what services do we want to provide, but what services does the community or what services is the community in need of?
Absolutely. And one of the things that they had said was they had support groups in the community mm-hmm. center back in the day. So initially when it was just me and like it was manager build this project, you know, uh-huh. it was me in a small rented space next door, holding support groups for the community three times a week, you know, and uh-huh. then also forming those connections with the different resources and organizations. Now we have those virtually and our plan is to get those back in person by the end of next month.
Uh-huh.
But we also do other things in person. We got support groups, but we also have stress buster activities once a month. That's basically like mental health workshops for the community. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's meditation, sometimes it's mindfulness, sometimes it's, self-care, and then like an arts and craft types of thing.
Oh, cool.
We also have fun events like Art Hop on the first Thursday of every month. We have game night hosted by LGBTQ Fresno on the third Wednesday of every month. Uh-huh. And in June, we'll have our big pride event, Illuminate Our Pride. That's going to be June 25th from 5 to 9 p.m. It's a block party.
Well, sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun over there. A lot of fun stuff. Now, for people that are interested or may not be familiar, what's the location? Where can they find you guys?
We are located downtown Fresno on Fulton Street. It's 1252 Fulton Street. It's on Fulton between Fresno Street and Merced Street.
And then you also mentioned something about a link if someone wanted to receive services or is there like a website or somewhere where they can find out more information?
Sure. So if you search, you know, FresnoEOC.org/LGBTQ.
Okay.
On that website, there's a link that's, you know, request services, and there's a whole form that you fill out, all your information, what services you're looking to receive, and then the appropriate person from the center will get to you uh-huh. to get you connected with whatever it is you're needing.
Now it's really, I had no idea like how this program came to fruition, right? And it's sad that old community center program that Fresno had kind of faded away, but it's awesome to hear that you were able to kind of rebuild something that was very much needed in the community. And sounds like you're doing a lot of great work. And I know you've been doing a lot of trainings also. I've heard some of the staff talking about trainings that you've been doing. Why don't I talk a little bit about the trainings that you offer?
Sure. So we offer LGBTQ plus competency training for EOC projects, but also uh-huh. outside organizations and businesses. It's to help people become familiar with our community needs and give them some basics on interacting with the LGBTQ plus community uh-huh. in a way that conveys respect and dignity. And it also gives some insight to some of the barriers and challenges that many of our clients are facing on a regular basis. And that's, I think, you know, other community centers do that type of work as well. I know the Source uh-huh. does their own LGBT competency training out in Visalia. That's a pretty common type of training for a center like ours to do.
And this is available to anybody that would be interested in having you come out to their workplace and do this type of training?
That's correct. And that's also something that can be accessed through the website. If they're looking for training, they can click that button as well.
And I hear you, some of the things you mentioned, and I kind of want to get into, well, we won't get too much of it into it because I don't want to give away the whole training, but, you know, like, how do you see, you know, more or less acceptance of LGBTQ in society?
So society as a whole, obviously, we've made some big strides, you know, there's a lot of work to be done still. You know, California has some great laws in place to protect our community. The Central Valley itself is still real conservative in its views. And Fresno, like the city of Fresno, is much better than it used to be. But we're surrounded by a county that's got a lot of smaller cities that may or may not be a safe place for this community. There are still schools very nearby, right, that aren't receptive to things like GSA clubs or transgender inclusive policies. And really, I mean, I think as the community, we know, you know, if you've grown up here, you kind of know which areas you may run into problems or trouble. But for people coming into the Central Valley from anywhere else in California, especially some of, you know, the bigger cities, it's a real shock sometimes to to be in California and have some of the issues that are still being had.
And when you run into those types of issues, are you guys doing any work like to fight that or advocate for some of these programs that might not be allowed in the schools or anything like that?
Sure. So all of our work has always included advocacy, of course, because of EOT, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. So some of those things, like we're connected with many organizations. We're connected with a lot of the school districts as far as their school psychologists and those types of personnel. There's some things happening currently in some of the places where of course we offer, like, if you need another voice from stakeholders in this community, let us know. We'd be happy to show up. Always interested in being the advocates for those that need the voice. And you know, Illuminate Our Pride, the Pride event that we do specifically was born out of raising the voices of some of the most marginalized and of the different intersections here in Fresno County.
That's great. Now, in the workplace, right? So I work in our equity and impact department. One of our focuses is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so for people thinking about like how they could impact their workplace, right? How can we build an atmosphere of inclusion, you know, regardless of people's, you know, personal or even their religious views?
Right. You know, specifically at EOC, when I give our competency training to like projects within, one of the things that I like to remind everybody about is, you know, that I'm not coming to train you to change your personal or religious views, but also with the reminder that, like, we were born as a community action agency and our goals include helping the most marginalized people in Fresno.
Right.
Which includes the LGBTQ population, and they're offering suffering and poverty and facing extra barriers to accessing the resources they need. So it's our job, regardless of our views, personal, religious, or otherwise, to leave those out of the work that we do so that we can be most effective at being the helping professionals that we are.
That is a great way to put it, you know, and I mean, I never thought of it that way myself, but, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate that there are still people out there that have these differing views or not as accepting of certain people in the community, right? And I mean, we're just here to help everyone, right? And yeah, and so I think that's really what it comes down to, right? Poverty fighters fighting to end poverty. It's our mission. No matter who you are, what your background is. Now, what do you see as some of the more common misconceptions that people may have about the LGBTQ plus community?
Where do we even start with those? Right? So probably one that I hear a lot about, you know, in some of the narratives is about, you know, the LGBTQ community trying to persuade others to join us, or like, you know, trying to convert people, or trying, you know, making a goal of, you know, making more gay people. And I always remind everybody, like, so me personally, like, I identify as part of the community. I was raised by two very supportive, happy, loving, heterosexual married parents. You know, my role models weren't modeling LGBTQ anything, you know. I didn't even know what that meant for a long time until probably the first time I said a girl was pretty and my older cousin said, don't say that, you know. So, you know, the goal of any LGBTQ person that I've met and that I know is never to convert people or spread the, you know, gay agenda. It's always to be able to live in a safe environment and not be the target of harassment or discrimination or violence, even because of who we are.
And I mean, that's kind of something that everybody wants, right? So we should all be striving for that, just for people in general, right?
There's, you know, there's a lot of controversy, I think, countrywide, like nationwide, right? And especially with regard to our most marginalized, which would be our transgender, you know, siblings, like anybody from the transgender community of the LGBT community. They're the most marginalized. Like, so you have groups that are more marginalized within the marginalized community.
Oh, I see.
And some of the, you know, the politicized dialogue that happens, and that we hear a lot, especially in trainings, right? It's about like the using of the bathroom with the gender you identify with. And often people are worried about, you know, their kids or themselves being in danger or being assaulted or something of that nature.
Right.
And statistically, and I say this in the trainings we do, statistically, if someone's going to be assaulted over a bathroom situation or issue, it's the LGBTQ person who is hurt or beat up or assaulted for being somewhere that someone else doesn't think they belong.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of leads into my next question, right? And because I know you were mentioning earlier some of the resources that you provide at the center, and you know, different types of people that are coming in. But what are some of the things that a person who is, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, what are some of the things that they may be going through? Because I know you mentioned, you know, wanting to have these mental health services available for them. And so what are some of the things that you're seeing, or that these people may be going through, or the challenges they may be facing?
Sure. So, you know, also statistically speaking, you know, our community is disproportionately impacted by things like mental health issues, substance use disorder, poverty, all the things, right? So some of the things that they're, you know, our community is dealing with and coming out is rejection from their parents or family or friends, even rejection from the support structures that they're part of, like religious groups or clubs. Some parents even throw their kids out when they come out, or if they find out, you know, and make them homeless. And then, you know, they're vulnerable for all kinds of reasons anyway, because they're so young. But then they're also, you know, on the streets. And there's a lot of things around that that are really dangerous for young people. Just basic, like, fear for your safety in public areas that might not be, you know, the most LGBTQ friendly places. Also worrying about like workplace or housing discrimination because of your gender identity or sexual orientation, you know, for older people that maybe already are working or already, you know, not the youth, but like the, you know, young adults or even mid-age adults that might be late in life coming out, worrying about the same family rejection, discrimination at work or in housing, you know, basic stuff like, is my new doctor or mental health provider going to be weird? Because I look gay, or because, you know, or my issue is going to be something they can't help me with because, you know, I'm LGBTQ. And for transgender people, because sometimes maybe their name and pronouns don't match their insurance or something, some of their documents, because they're in the middle of that journey. And, you know, there's a lot of administrative people in the medical or mental health fields that maybe aren't familiar or just aren't accepting or just aren't going to be polite or treat people with respect once they realize, you know.
Yeah, again, it's just an unfortunate, you know, for anyone to have to navigate those types of challenges. And you know, I I'm just very happy to see, you know, the amount of effort that you're putting into, you know, making sure that these services are available and that these people have the help and the support they need to help them get through it, you know. And and, you know, when back to the workplace, you know, and how can, or not even the workplace, just in society in general, like, do you have any tips for how a person can or should respond to any homophobic or transphobic attitudes that they may encounter?
Yeah. So, you know, the number one thing is to learn about our community and do so with an open mind. Like, that's one of the things I encourage when we're doing the training for whatever group of people, like, listen with an open heart and an open mind, you know, learn how to be a good ally and what things you can do to have LGBTQ people around you give you that label. Cause like, saying I'm an ally is different than like people from our community knowing or thinking that about you, you know. Be willing to stand up to people's homophobia or their transphobic attitudes, and or at least say whatever you can to make it less likely that they'll feel comfortable acting that way in spaces that you're in. I think, you know, it's everyone's job to stand up against that kind of behavior.
Right.
And the most effective way to do that is to be armed with the facts and information that can counter those attitudes and behaviors.
Right, right, right. No, that makes sense. And, you know, I think if we want to see change, right, we want culture to change or our society to be more accepting, right, it's going to take all of us together to do that, right? It's like one person is not going to make a change. Like, we all have to be on board. And I think it's important for people to speak up, you know, when you're around those types of attitudes, like you said, because, you know, it's the only way we're going to put a stop to it.
You know, I think it's important to know the different resources out there too. Like, this is one of them, the LGBT Resource Center, you know, and I know that, like, our other projects, some, you know, sometimes they've even reached out like, hey, we're dealing with this situation. Can you guys help us with fill in the blank? You know, it's important to know the resources. You know, anybody that's calling here or shooting us an email at our general email is going to get, I have an amazing staff of 5 people now that know their stuff, that can connect people with what resources they need. You know, probably maybe once a week, maybe more than that, sometimes we get that parent whose child has come out, who maybe isn't trying to throw their kid out on the streets, but wants to be supportive, but just doesn't know what to do or how to do it, right? Because they haven't had this situation. And they'll reach out to us and we can give them some guidance in ways to do that. Hopefully coming soon, when we get things back in person too, we're going to shoot for an in-person tandem parent / you know, young person support group. So we can have parents in one room, youth in the other room, and then supporting each other with facilitation.
Oh, that would be awesome. And that also a great segue to my next question. I wanted to hear, what are some of your goals for the program? What are some things that you see coming down the road for the LGBTQ plus Resource Center?
Sure. So we want to expand and, like, continue, past the end of this current funding, the mental health services that are directly out of the center. We want to continue to engage those healthcare people, whether they're, you know, whatever that looks like, for training in LGBTQ competency, but also we're continuing to work with UCSF on the next round of training for folks around, you know, LGBTQ affirming care. Expanded legal services, because right now I told you we have, you know, LGBTQ immigration lawyer in the center, but, like, other, you know, because lawyers specialize in certain areas, like, but we get a, you know, a lot of those calls I told you that's in our top of, like, the needs. Sometimes they need a family lawyer, sometimes they need a criminal lawyer, sometimes they need, you know, a civil litigator who can deal with the discrimination they're experiencing wherever. So things like that, you know, and just the knowledge for the community that we exist and that we're here, and that if they need whatever it is, resources, advocacy, you know, community, that they can reach out to us and we can get them connected, or we're having, you know, those safe spaces, those fun events, right? Game nights, art hop, other events that are not necessarily, you know, a lot of our community found each other or find community and, like, fellowship type of things out in, like, for me, example, I'll just use myself as an example. When I was old enough to drive, I went to places where I thought I could find my people, you know, which in Fresno at the time really only included, like, the gay bars, right? And if you don't want to be in a space where it's, like, about alcohol and a party, it's nice to have some, you know, clean and sober options, if
right,
you will.
Right, right.
So yeah.
And remind the listeners when these game nights happen.
So game night is hosted by LGBT Fresno on the third Wednesday of every month. Art Hop is the first Thursday of every month. That happens all evening, 5 to 9. And that's a Fulton Street wide thing where you can hop from venue to venue. But we have every first Thursday of the month, vendors selling their artisan stuff, queer artists displaying their art and whatever they've created. And sometimes, well, I think starting next month again, Starbucks will be back out here giving us free coffee and snacks for our
coffee. That's always good. Free Starbucks.
Free iced coffee. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, I'm so glad that I was able to get you on the podcast again. You know, one of the things you said is just getting the word out there and letting people know that this service exists and is available to them. So again, thank you so much for taking your time to speak to me. And please remind everyone one more time, the phone number and the website, where, if they are in search services, how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. So the best way would be to go to the website at fresnoeoc.org/LGBTQ and click on whichever link is the appropriate link. Usually request for services is the one people is looking for. The phone number is 559-387-5533. That's the general front desk there. And we're available on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to keep up with events and things that are happening. What else did you say? The address again is 1252 Fulton Street. We're on Fulton between Fresno and Merced. And the drop-in space, I don't even know I mentioned the drop-in space. So we're open.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, we're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5. People can drop in and just, you know, you don't have to fill out the request for services necessarily. You could drop in, meet with somebody. We'll feed you, get you something to drink. Let you use our internet. We have a guest internet service so that if people are looking for whatever it is online, you know, sometimes people are job searching or looking for apartments, they can do so on our network.
And that's at the downtown Fulton office, right?
Yep. It's a little drop-in space right when you walk in, and you can use our internet, get a snack, get a burrito, get a cup of coffee or water or soda.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much. Is there anything else that you want to let our listeners know before we wrap up?
Just that, you know, we're having a lot of, we're doing a lot of good work down here, but also it's a lot of fun. So come check us out if you haven't. People can also call and schedule a tour if they like. It's pretty quick, but the space is a lot bigger on the inside than it looks from the front door. So come check us out.
Wonderful. Thank you so much again, Jen. I appreciate your time, and thank you for all the work that you've been doing. And hopefully we could get you back on a future episode.
For sure. Thank you for inviting me and for letting everybody know that we exist and what we do. We appreciate it.
For sure, of course. All right, Jen, I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You too.
And there you have it, everyone. Episode number 10 of the Poverty Fighters Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please remember to check out our website at fresnoeoc.org to get more information on the LGBTQ+ Resource Center, as well as the other amazing programs offered by Fresno EOC. Please remember to share this podcast with your friends and look out for the next one. Thank you.